Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
For the first time in Ireland, prison officers could be authorised to use pepper spray to address rising violence amongst inmates and against staff. However, a government paper has warned that the use of pepper spray could provoke greater violence amongst prisoners. Joining me now to discuss this is Carl Dalton, who's General Secretary with the Prison Officers Association, and also Saoirse Brady, Executive Director for the Irish Penal Reform Trust. And you're both welcome to the programme. Carl, to begin with you, I know prison officers have been calling for something like this for a long time. Tell us why you think it's warranted now.
Claire, thanks for the opportunity. I suppose due to the unprecedented overcrowding throughout the prison estate and the impact it's having on the daily working environment and the conditions for our staff, we felt, not just now, this was in 2024, was a motion to our conference to look for certain protections for staff, including the pava spray and the requisite training that goes with it. So it's not just now, it's been an ongoing situation.
Mm-hmm. And what do prison officers in Irish prisons have to protect themselves now?
The primary methodology for is training in control and restraint, which is how we deal with prisoners, violent prisoners,
de-escalation. You've no defensive weapons as such, no devices that you can use?
No, we carry no weapons on the land and no defensive weapons.
So in the context of, and I know that assaults on staff have gone down somewhat, but there is an escalation in attacks amongst inmates. In that context, in that scenario, is it becoming increasingly difficult now to do that job?
Yeah, well, with the chronic overcrowding comes the lack of services for prisoners, and the drugs flooding into the prisons, it invariably causes tensions and increased violence within the walls. Firstly, we don't accept that the assaults on staff have gone down dramatically or even slightly. There's a number of figures that the prison service issue which we don't fully accept. The violent staff have to deal on a daily basis increasing, and the injuries to staff continue unabated. But as long as you have an overcrowded prison system where there's no facilities, no structured activity for prisoners, the drugs take over and the violence takes over, and we have to deal with that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's find out what Saoirse thinks. Saoirse, you're welcome to the programme as well. I mean, prison officers being allowed to defend themselves in extreme circumstances with pepper spray, is that something that you see that there could be an issue with? Do you think it might escalate violence in prisons?
Yeah, Claire, we'd be very concerned about the use of pepper spray in prisons. And, you know, Ireland is an outlier in this, but I think that's something we should be proud of, that we haven't felt the need to carry weapons in prisons to date. But I suppose this does come back to Carl's point about the severe overcrowding. And we go in and meet with recruit prison officers, and we know their concerns and their anxieties about the people in their care that they are going to face, because there are huge mental health and addiction concerns within prison. So, you know, we know in other jurisdictions that pepper spray has been introduced, and that there have been findings against other states, because we don't believe that prison officers would deliberately use pepper spray in a wrong way. But we feel the conditions in prison, particularly at the moment with the overcrowding, are not conducive to its use at all, because there are very limited conditions in which you could use something like incapacitant or pepper spray. So you can't use it in overcrowded conditions. So at the moment, you know, you can't spray it indiscriminately into a crowd of people. So given that we have more than one person to a cell in right across the prison estate, that would pose a problem. You can't use it in confined conditions, so you couldn't use it in a cell. You can't use it at a height, so, you know, that would call into question whether you can use it in a prison landing at all. You can't use it on people with particular vulnerabilities, and that includes intellectual disabilities or people with mental health issues. And we know that that is, you know, a real concern in Irish prisons at the moment. There's a huge rate of people with mental health issues in prison, and we all accept and acknowledge that. So, you know, what are the conditions that you can use it in? I also would question whether or not, you know, we have the medical staff on standby, because if you use pepper spray, and it is a weapon designed to cause severe harm and severe pain to incapacitate someone, the clue is in the name, you need to decontaminate that person straight away. You need to ensure that the prison officer has medical attention as well. You can't use it on people with a respiratory issue because it does actually cause harm to the respiratory airways. So, you know, when we already have a shortage of medical staff in prisons, are we going to have somebody in on standby? And also, you're talking about this being used, you know, at a time of heightened risk where somebody feels that it is absolutely necessary to do this. But are you going to take the step back and, you know, have all those things in your head? You know, does this person have an underlying health issue that I need to think about? Do I have the medical staff on standby? Am I going to cause harm to myself or others? And, you know, I think that is something that really needs to be addressed and considered before we even contemplate introducing this into Irish prisons.
It seems, given all the restrictions that Saoirse has outlined there, that it's a pretty pointless to introduce this. I mean, there are very limited situations, from what Saoirse tells us, where it could actually be used.
Well, look, we'd say firstly, as prison officers, have a right to a secure, safe workplace, and we think it's a reasonable expectation to go to work and come home uninjured. As for the restrictions, the first thing we're going to do with PAVA spray introduction is extensive and intensive training for all staff into where and when they can use it and why. But I mean, PAVA spray is to be utilised in response to spontaneous aggressive events where the officer is under threat. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about if an officer is going to be sliced open and the PAVA spray can make the difference to let them de-escalate and move away from the situation. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what may be done.
But Carl, if you can't use it in a cell, you can't use it where there's a crowd of people, you can't use it on people with vulnerabilities, you need to have medical staff on standby. It just seems to me that if you were under threat in that way that you've just described, and who would want to be going to work to be facing that, it's extremely difficult. But is this the right tool for you to use, given that it's going to be so restricted?
Well, I suppose the key point is it's only one in a number of tools. So most of our tools are de-escalation, and the PAVA spray is de-escalation tool. The body-worn cameras, we also look for the introduction of them. All of these are de-escalation tools, and they're to act to be used rarely and hopefully never. When the incident that they are required for. So if an individual is coming at a prison officer and the prison officer cannot retreat any further and they have a blade in their hand, they're going to slice their face, as has happened recently with a prison officer, that could make the difference between the officer going home injured or going home uninjured. And we can't apologise for looking for things. There is specific situations where you wouldn't use it, but there's also specific situations where you would use it. Mm-hmm. And we would say, for instance, everyone's driving around in a car with airbags in it. Most people in their lifetime will never use the airbag. But on that occasion, when the conditions are right and that airbag is used to save a life, well, that's what it's for. And the incapacitant spray is no different.
Yeah, and this government paper that I referenced earlier, I mean, this says that prisoners could become more violent, Carl, if the pepper spray is used on them. Is that something that you would be concerned about, that this might make this whole situation worse?
Well, our staff are fantastic. Our members are fantastically well trained in de-escalation techniques, and that's always the first avenue, is to try and talk your way out of the situation, talk the situation down and calm it down. As for the paper, we debate that. What we'd done with the motion was, first thing we asked for was a group was set up, a PPE review group, which included the State's Claims Agency, governors from the prisons, governors from operations, and ourselves. And we talked through every scenario. And the next stage, as I said, is to prepare the training and the information then for prisoners. So they understand also what the parameters, what's going to happen, what's being introduced into the prisons. And we don't believe it'll increase violence. The violence is increasing because of the drugs, because of the overcrowding. And the reality is, the solution to all of this is to resolve the overcrowding crisis. Mm-hmm. But in the absence of that, we can't apologise for looking for our safety measures. But again, I say, and I have to be real clear on this, it's only one of a number of tools. The body-worn camera is a powerful tool because it allows the person to know, well, this is going to be used against you. We've used it as a video audio enhancement. We go in to remove people from cells in riot gear. We video the whole thing for the protection of staff, but also it's a de-escalation tool. So anything that de-escalates, we believe, is beneficial.
Yeah, well, Saoirse, I suppose, given that we were in the situation where overcrowding is a factor in most, if not all, of our prisons in Ireland, do you agree that prison officers need protection now, at least in the interim, until that overcrowding problem is addressed?
I do believe that prison officers should be able to go to work in a safe, secure environment. But as Carl said, like, the solution to this is to address the overcrowding problem in the first place, I think. And, you know, reduce the number of people going into prison with severe mental health issues, with addiction issues. And, you know, we really welcome the Minister for Justice's comments at the Prison Officers Association conference last week about, you know, actually looking at putting in place more alternatives to prison. But, and, you know, and I know that prison officers do have those, that, you know, they do have that training around control and restraint. They look at de-escalation pieces. But I think there are other groups going into prison as well that we can call on. So there's the Alternatives to Violence program. There's the Traveller Mediation Service. There's all of those things that can help de-escalate and prevent violence from happening in the first place. So I do think we need to look at that. And just in terms of that paper that you referenced there, Claire, there is a part in it where the State Claims Agency talks about how they've written to the Irish Prison Service to get further data that would inform this decision before any move towards an introduction would happen. And that is to look at, you know, a trend analysis of P19s, which are disciplinary procedures, a recorded use of force incidents, planned or unplanned, and looking at, you know, the data that mm-hmm. Carl referenced as well around whether or not there has been an increase
but
in violence.
Saoirse, what do you advise a prison officer to do? You know, Carl outlined that scenario. If you are, your back is against a wall, you can't retreat any further, and there's a prisoner in front of you with a blade in their hand, what does the prison officer do if he doesn't have, or she doesn't have, pepper spray?
That's a really difficult question, and it's not one I'm not trained to do that, but I know that the prison officers do get that training around control and restraint, and I know that's easy for me to say. I wouldn't want to be going into a prison working as a prison officer every day, because I think it is an incredibly difficult job. But I do think that introducing a weapon into a prison setting can also have the reverse effect of actually undermining trust between prison staff and prisoners. It can also, you know, I would be afraid that that weapon could be used against the prison officer as well. You know, I do think it's something that we really need to consider.
Yeah, I'm
carefully.
Sure.
I think there needs to be better consultation. I'm not dismissing it completely, and I'm not dismissing the concerns of prison officers, but I do think that there needs to be wider consultation with everyone involved mm-hmm. in this decision-making process.
Carl, I'm sure you've considered that, you and your members, that this is something that could be used against you.
There's an array of weapons in the prisons already. The prisoners are quite inventive on how to create weapons. We also have the drones coming in, and as we've seen yesterday, a drone dropped a pipe from the house. Our president spoke at our conference about weapons coming in via drones. So we have all of these concerns. So we have huge concerns about all weapons in the prisons. Whether a weapon could be taken off as an officer, there's not a huge history in other prisons of this happening. Everything is a risk you do. So we have considered all the risks. As I said, we set up a group which included the State Claims Agency, which included governors from operations, prison operational governors from prisons, and ourselves, and from the health and safety wing of the Irish Prison Service. So we've looked at everything. We continue to look at everything. And we take on board Saoirse's comments. We're not dismissing them. We're not belittling them. But for instance, the Alternative to Violence program, we agree with all these programs mm-hmm. and we're there to work with them. However, in the overcrowded, strained environment we're in, a lot of these services are shut down because the manpower or womanpower simply isn't there. We don't have the staff to do it because of overcrowding. So, it robs us of the services.
So what happens next here? I mean, legislation would be needed, Carl, in order to get this through, right?
Well, next for us is a point Saoirse made there. Next for us is to start preparing and getting the training in place, because the training, the intensive and extensive training is required to make this work properly and protect our staff, not only when they're using it, but from using it wrongly. That needs to take place now. We don't need to have the legislation in place for that. And we can look at the data that's out there and learn from the data and learn from other jurisdictions. We talk to other jurisdictions and we prepare and start training the staff and inform the prisoners of what's coming, so the understand it.
All right, let's leave it there. But thank you both, Saoirse Brady from the Irish Penal Reform Trust and from the Irish Prisoner Association, Carl Dalton. Coming up next, the new and ancient sauna tradition in Ireland. Author Rosanna Cooney will be here to tell us about her new book.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.